Hey, gorgeous, it's Denise here. And before we start on today's episode, I just want to let you know that I have something very epic starting soon that will help you grow your business. Now, I know how hard it can be to find a mentor who really understands you because most business gurus teach what they know and what works for them. But what works for them doesn't mean it's going to work for you. And if you follow cookie cutter advice, it can lead to frustration and burnout. Personally, I've wasted thousands of dollars following business advice that really doesn't feel right or authentic to me. My $1 million lesson is that you have to build your business around you, your life, and your personality, and then have the courage to do business on your terms. Very soon, I'll be opening up my once-a-year business course where I teach you live how to leverage your strengths and make more money using your money archetypes. I'll show you how to design your business model, create marketing campaigns that really work, grow your passive income, finally put together a team that works for you, and more by doubling down on your strengths and learning how to avoid the challenges of your archetype. You will get live coaching from me and support from my team and my eyes on your business for 6 weeks together in May and June of this year. So join the waitlist now so you don't miss out. It's at denisedt.com/SMA, and you'll be the first to get all of the details. All right, thanks so much. Get on that waitlist at denisedt.com/SMA. And now let's dive into today's episode.
Start your business for the freedom of time. Now you're tired of the hustle and grind. There's gotta be a better way. It's time to listen to Chill and Prosper. Welcome to Chill and Prosper. You're ready to chill and prosper with Denise Duffield Thomas.
Hey, gorgeous, it's Denise here, and I'm answering some questions that have come in for the podcast today. Okay, and they're like no particular order, no particular theme, but I always just like to be able to, just answer questions. Okay, so this one comes in from Melissa Addy. She said, I'd be curious about whether you felt you could work while you were traveling. So if you don't know, last year, Mark and I took 4 months out to go traveling around Europe with our 3 kids and my mom and like various family members on different things. Anyway, I'd like to travel more, but when I do, I always make it no work time. And if I were to increase my travel time, I don't think it would be feasible. My husband and I did a month in Australia. It seemed to be fine traveling and working, but I found the different locations made me feel like I couldn't work, something I'd like to get over. Well, Melissa, that's such a great question because I don't even think that I'm necessarily the best person to answer this because I feel like there's so many people who do like the nomad living and the travel kind of lifestyle all the time. You know, there are people who live in their vans and run businesses. There are people who travel with their kids and run businesses. So I'm definitely not the best person to talk to about this. Like I love traveling solo. But I actually don't travel a lot for adventure. I normally just travel for work. So then I find it incredibly easy to work. So I actually find I get a lot done at airports because, you know, you've got a plane to catch. So I always like get through my inbox and just like do a lot of those little things that I've been putting off when I'm sitting there at an airport waiting to fly somewhere. I find sometimes on a plane, like I do switch off and watch movies, but then I'll get an idea and I find that being on a plane is really great for writing or creating slides and stuff too, especially if you don't have internet and you just have to put the words down. That can be a really great thing for me. The thing that I actually really struggled with traveling is internet. And so what was hard about it is that I still had to do my money boot camp calls while I was away. So we were away for 4 months. So we did like 4 and then there was one when I just came home. And so the thing that was stressful was not knowing where I was going to be and if there was going to be good enough internet for them. So if I was doing it again, I wouldn't have set calls like that because that was stressful. And there were times too where I'd be like, okay, so we're going to be staying at that particular house at the time, you know, and Mark would have emailed the owner and said, yeah, cool. No, it's totally fine. Our internet's good enough. And then we get there and you realize, oh, but it's not in a dedicated like workspace or the best internet is like in a really awkward spot in the house. And, you know, I'd have to kick the kids out, or I'd have to, like, there'd be crap lighting, or you wouldn't realize, like, oh, you can hear traffic, or like there was drilling next door in one of the places. So that was kind of stressful, thinking, okay, I have to do that. One that was really hard too was that I used to do a lot of podcast interviews before I left, and Hay House asked if I could interview my friend Susie for her new book, Susie Ashworth. And I said, yeah, cool. And then on the day, like, our internet wasn't working at the Airbnb we were staying at. And I just felt like, oh, I hate letting people down. I hate it. And I find it's embarrassing and unprofessional if I can't guarantee internet connection. So that was not fun. However, I feel like if you were traveling and you had things that were not internet dependent, like, for, you know, I still had to be in my money bootcamp group, but I could do it like anywhere. You know, I could be in a queue somewhere and I'd be like, oh, okay, this like shopping center has internet. I'll just log on. Or, oh, this coffee shop is internet. I can just do a few things here and there. But no one was relying on me. No one was waiting for anything from me. So that was the only tricky thing. Because apart from that, I find it's like, I like working in transit. That being said, I want to say something too here, Melissa. I don't know if you've got kids. That was the hardest bit, right? Because if I'm at an airport lounge by myself, I can just sit there, put my headphones on and just work. But oh my God, our kids, I was just like, don't lick that. Oh my God, what are you doing? Don't do that to your brother. And it was just so freaking stressful all the time. Just like going, oh my God. And then jet lag. Like when I travel by myself, I travel business class, I've got a flatbed, I'll arrive, I'm straight into it. I do not get jet lag at all. And then I'll be like, oh, I'm going to go and see a musical tonight. And when you're traveling with kids, like everyone's sleep is so disturbed. Then I was like so tired and grumpy. And then, you know, I'd have to go into a speaking gig. Like when we did a tour, we did like a 3 or 4 week tour with the kids, and I had to do all these speaking gigs. And I was just so tired because I was like, everyone was up, was, you know, yelling at each other. I was just like, oh my God, why am I doing this? And then I'd be like extra concealer because I was so tired and grumpy. So all of those things are like, if traveling with kids, might be a bit harder, right? So what worked for us too is that I'd find a business center to go do my calls at. Some of my friends have like pop-up backgrounds that they can just roll up, so then it looks the same wherever they are. My friend Tash Corbin does that super well, where she could be in New Zealand, Singapore, Queensland, Japan, like anywhere around the world, and you would never know because it always looks the same and in the backdrop. And then, of course, you have to be mindful about what equipment you want to take. So, you know, often we'll have like a little lapel mic, headphones, you know, your computers, extra cables, all that kind of stuff, maybe a light source, just so then it's easy to look kind of the same. But the other thing I think is cool about traveling and work is that it does give you new, fresh ideas. You know, you can see things and go, oh, wow, that would be really cool to write a blog post about, or, oh, I'd love to talk about that on social media. And of course, before I left on my trip, I batched a lot of stuff. So then I was like, oh, there's still room if I want to create new things, but I don't have to if I don't want to. So I knew that my podcast would go out every week without me having to do it. I knew that there would be a lot of social media content still coming out. And then I didn't give myself pressure to create a lot of things on the trip. I could be very present with my family, but it gave me spaciousness that if I did have an extra day where I could do something, like I did a speaking gig at the end of the travel and I had nice hair and makeup. And so I was like, oh, I've got a couple of hours to kill. And I did like 40 little video clips. And so I just did it, but I didn't have to. And so then now I can use those video clips now for, you know, future social media. So I think, that's my perspective on travel and work, is make sure you're not creating extra stress for yourself, that you're setting your business up in a way that is fault-proof if you can. But yeah, it's a great way to have lots of creative ideas and stuff like that. And yeah, it worked. And like, it worked fine. Time zone things are hard, but yeah, it was good. Yeah. Thanks for asking, Melissa. Okay. So this one is from Josie. Josie Anderson. She said, how do you live a fulfilled life when you're a ruler and expect your husband to have those same motivations to want more in life? I just can't sit back and let him complain any longer and do nothing about it. He's an amazing family man and great dad. I know it's just part of me being too much in my ruler. My God, I love this question, Josie. I really do, because I'm married to a ruler. Okay, so don't think that the grass is greener on the other side here. And actually, I do see this a lot where sometimes you'll have someone who's very entrepreneurial, very ideas person, and they're married to someone who's much more cautious and a bit more like, you know, just want this, 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 and this. And sometimes it's like that accumulator personality married to someone who's like an alchemist or a maverick. And then sometimes I'll see people who are like both crazy entrepreneurs, and there's always pros and cons to everything. Like, I just was at the Pink concert and she was like, hey guys, the first 20 years of marriage is the hardest. And then she's like, it's all downhill from there. And it's kind of true, right? Is that cohabitating with someone, having a life with someone is always going to be challenging in some ways because you're different people and it's another human in your life, right? But I've seen this a lot where someone has this thing of like, I want more, I can see more, and why aren't they coming along on the journey with me? So a couple of things on that. So one is you've got to have compassion, but also understanding is if you're around a lot of entrepreneurial people or people who are talking about law of attraction or let's make money or whatever, that becomes so normalized and you just think, oh, wow, well, that person can do it, so of course I can do it. It becomes so immersive for you. If you're in a lot of groups or you're listening to podcasts or reading books, it just becomes like you believe it, right? Because you just see so many examples of it. And if someone's not in that space, I'm just going to plug in my phone. Hang on. If someone's not in that space, of course they're not going to believe it because they're literally not seeing it like you are. And so of course they're not going to believe it. And I remember, like in my first couple of years of business, I saw my friend Leonie Dawson. She had a launch and made $30,000. And, you know, that's a tiny, tiny launch for both of us now, right? We've both had multi-million dollar launches, you know, made so much money since then. But that was like the first time that somebody I knew like made $30,000, like so much money in one launch. And I remember saying to Mark, oh my God, come and have a look at this. And he was just like, how? What? When? Who? Like, she just looks like a random hippie. You know, he's, how did she do that? What did she charge? What was her strategy? What's her business plan? And I was like, dude, don't be a Debbie Downer. I was just like, but look, she's just like, she just did it, you know? And I realized too that all of those things were starting to become really normal to me, hearing about these massive big wins, hearing about people who, you know, created these big launches, built their dream houses, all of that stuff. It was just, and started to become a normal everyday thing for me. It wasn't for him. So when I was like, I'm going to quit my job and I'm going to start a business, he was just like, but how are we going to make money? Like, how are we going to pay all our bills? What's going to happen? How, like, shouldn't you get a part-time job? And I remember saying to him, give me 6 months. You know, we're living in a tiny, tiny little apartment. And I was like, we can live off your salary, but give me 6 months to do this. And I remember, like, even at like 2 weeks in, he was like, maybe you should get a job. And I was like, no, this is the vision. Okay. So here's the thing is that I've had to come to this realization that I am the visionary of our family. Mark will follow along. And all I asked from him is, I said, just don't be a Debbie Downer. Don't tell me I can't do it. And I need you to be on board that, but I don't expect you to have the same vision. I don't expect you to do all the things and see what I see, but just don't discourage me. That's what I want. And so I had to keep on saying to him, nope, we said 6 months. No, we said 6 months. One day, this is what it's going to be for. And I was a bit resentful about that for sure, of going, well, why doesn't he have that same vision? And then I was like, oh, I have to be the keeper of the flame for our family. I am the one who sets that North Star. This is where we're going as a family because I have the vision to do it. What's great about Mark, though, is that he will do the paperwork. I'll be like, hey, let's do this thing. And then it'll be like, great, sign this paperwork and fill in this form. And I'll go, oh, no, I can't be bothered. I'm not interested in that anymore. And he's the one to just be like, okay, send me the document. I'll make it happen. I'll do the thing. I'll sign the contract. I'll pay the deposit. I'll apply for the insurance. I'll fill in the application. I will do the thing. I will follow up. I'll ask that person. I will, you know, and I really struggle with that side of it. So I think it's so great when you can have a personality, like a couple that complements each other in that way. You know, it feels really good. And even recently, when I wanted to downsize our house and downsize our life a little bit for more freedom and abundance, again, I was the one that had to kind of have that vision of going, this is what I want for our kids. I want them to have, you know, live in a suburb and have just like a steady middle-class childhood and to not be super aware of the wealth that we're creating. I know that sounds funny, but it was like I had to undo the vision that I had done of going, oh, let's have the best house in town and let's have this big, like, you know, public life, to go, oh, the vision's changed and actually this is what's going to work for us. And the fact that he could pivot and go, yep, cool, that's fine, that's great. But if we were both like always visionary, I just think it'd be a bit exhausting. And you know what? Mark is the one who, he makes sure that the kids have lunch every day for school. If it was up to me, they would not have lunch every day. And that's kind of what it was a bit like for my childhood. Sometimes my mom would be like, oh, I forgot your lunch. Don't worry, I'll bring you a pie at lunchtime. But he makes our life work in so many ways. Like he'll remember, you know, all of the things that, you know, all the magical things that you have to do for children, he will remember to do those things. You know, he will make sure that they have like a lunchbox every day and water. And I will not remember those things. Okay. So hopefully that helps. It's just like, just embracing your role as I am the visionary of the family. I am the keeper of the flame. And that's cool. And I accept that. Yeah. I did a whole episode on being the breadwinner. Maybe go listen to that one too. But it's just, it's real acceptance. And you don't have to do all the things. And he doesn't have to do yours. It's fun. Interesting. All right, let's take a quick break and then I've got some more questions when we come back. See you in a sec.
Hi, Denise. My name is Amber and I'm a writer and podcast host from Columbus, Georgia. I read your book, Get Rich Lucky Bitch, last year in the Bookaholics book club that I'm a part of. One thing that stood out to me in your book was to have an abundance mindset and to stop giving away my services or skill sets for free. It taught me to have a positive mindset and to know that I'm worth it. And that was a money block that I was having, and I'm speaking more abundance into my life. Thank you. Have a great day. Bye.
Okay, welcome back. So today is an Ask Me Anything episode. And of course, by the way, if you have burning questions for me, you can always email them into my team. They compile them in a spreadsheet, in a doc. And then sometimes when I'm in the podcast studio, I'll pull them out and answer them. But otherwise, if there's something that we already have an episode on, they'll send them to you as well. So you can always either DM me at DeniseDT on social media or send us a note. I think it's like info@denisedt.com, something like that. Okay. So Maria Fredrickson is asking, is it necessary for me to have a company in order to manifest money? Now, it's an interesting question, right? Because even though, like, I would say 80% of the people that I talk to, coach, like all those things, have some sort of business dreams. So you might not have, you know, a huge, big, successful business yet, but you kind of have that entrepreneurial desire or those dreams, right? So that means 20% don't, you know, 20% of people might be in a job that they love, or they're a stay-at-home mom or something like that, right? So I don't know what your dreams are. And you might want to be an artist, you know, and you think, I don't want to be a business person. Here's the thing though, there's so many different types of ways to make money these days. And you don't have to have a big business, a big organization to be able to still make money from your skills and talents. You know, you can have a big team, a small team, you can be a solo person. But I do think there is something there about the opportunity of entrepreneurship is just such a great conduit for being able to make money yourself. It's a really wonderful channel. However, you know, I know people who have made money from smart investments, from real estate, from like just being really good with their money, from like being in a job. Like if I was in a corporate career, knowing what I know about personal development, and like I would have rocked it. It's just I was so naive in the corporate world about money. I never asked for a pay increase. Like I never just played the game. I didn't know how to advocate for myself or market myself within a company. You know, I've worked for some big corporations, and I just didn't know how to play the game, right? And so you can earn a lot of money by knowing how to market yourself, knowing how to negotiate for yourself. And, you know, there's definitely like a whole skill set in that, in whatever that you do. So do you need a business to make money? No, but do you need some sort of channel to be able to make money? And by channel, I just mean, how are people going to give you money? Is it going to be through investments, through work, through a job, through business, through side hustles, through passive income? Like you choose, right? And yeah, you can choose. And I think it is good to try different things and like have diverse incomes, right? I own a lot of rental properties. I've invested in other businesses. I've invested in the stock market. You know, there's lots of different ways. Like I'm definitely trying to build my wealth outside of just my business, because I know that especially the last couple of years, I've had times where I've had mental health challenges, or I've had family challenges, or health, or, you know, I've been super tired because I've been having babies that don't sleep. Or I've just wanted to focus my life in other areas too, not just from my business. And so I'm very aware of that now, of going, okay, I want to build wealth outside of just me. And yeah, that's a big priority for me. So yeah, I don't know if that answered your question, Maria, but you don't have to, but you have to have something, you know, set your intention into making money in some particular area and then just give it a try. Give it a try. And there's something to be said for just like slow and steady saving and investing money too. Yeah. Okay. So this one is from Danielle McDonald. She's saying, I feel like my biggest money block has always been the overcoming the anxiety of starting a new business. Oh, overcoming the anxiety of starting a new business. So this is so true, right? The very first time you start a business, there is so much anxiety about what am I going to charge? Am I good enough? Are people going to like this? Who's going to buy it? Do I need another certificate? Do I need, I don't know, to go back to school? And there'll be a lot of excuses and a lot of fear. That's so normal, right? So a couple of things that I really recommend is, especially if you're quite new and you actually just don't have the skills to do a business, joining a course that has a community and like mentorship as part of it is just such a good idea, because you get to see examples of people who are doing it. So whatever your industry is, find someone who's running a course, has a community, has a support community. Obviously, we have that in Money Bootcamp, but we don't talk about business in Money Bootcamp. We talk about mindset, right? Which this is totally a mindset problem, but you also need to make sure that you're seeing examples of people who are actually making money and marketing and just doing the work of business, right? So you can get ideas, you can get inspiration, you can get accountability. And so much of that is just so amplified at the start of a business, because you don't know what you're doing. You don't necessarily like know where to focus your time. You don't know what's going to work. You're just throwing things against the wall. And without that accountability, it's very easy to get stuck in like loops that don't actually make that much of a difference. Like at the start where people are like, oh, I need to have the perfect website. And you go, no, that's not necessarily where you're going to get your clients. Like put a Calendly together and have some time and sell people an hour of your time. And they're like, no, but I need a website. No, I need a business card. No, I need the perfect branding. And you just go, no, get started, get a client, see if you like it. Get a client, see if you like it. Knowing that you will have fear and it will be very scary. But what scares you today won't scare you tomorrow. And that is always the great news of fear, is that it never truly goes away, but there'll be so many things that will just become easy and normal to you. Like the first time you have like a discovery call with a potential client will be so scary, and then it'll be fine. You know, and you can buy a course and you can learn how to do that skill. The first time you record a podcast episode or be an interview on someone else's podcast or do a speaking gig, all of those things will feel scary the first couple of times that you do them. But then it gets easier and easier and easier and easier and easier and easier. And that will be fine. Right? But you have to get started. But don't be that person, Danielle, who's like in 5 years' time, oh, I think I might start my business next year. Oh, I think I'm ready. Because you never feel ready. You never, ever feel truly, truly ready. I still don't feel ready. And I've made so much money. I've helped so many, you know, thousands of, like, you know, over 1 million people have downloaded my podcast, right? And I just think, I'm not ready. I'm still making it up. I'm still figuring it out. I still have fear. So yeah, you just have to just get going and find like what works for you. Is it you need an accountability coach and you need to see them every week? Do you need like a best friend accountability buddy? Do you need to be in a course that has, you know, accountability for it? Or do you just need to get some skills and just go with it? Like and just get started. That's it. You know, when I first started doing workshops, pardon me, like I would just book a room at like a gym or a community hall or something, do some flyers and just be like, come to my event. Like it didn't cost me very much money to run it, but it would be like I'd have 4 people there, 6 people. And then I actually called around a lot of businesses and just said, hey, I run a goal setting workshop. I'm happy to come and do it for free for your people, as long as just at the end I can, you know, just tell them about my coaching services. And they'd be like, yeah. So I didn't even have to fill the room. You know, and I'd always get at least 25% of the people go, yep, I'll buy some coaching from you. So it is scary, but no one's going to do it for you. Mm-hmm. And the cool thing is, Siri is like, what are you talking about? The thing that I always say to people is like, the good news is that nobody can stop you. The bad news is nobody can force you to do it. You have to decide that you want to run a business and you want all the rewards that come from that, and no one's going to do it for you. Okay, cool. Now, one last question. This is from Mary Pat. It's a bit of a long one, but she was saying, during the early scaling process, can you talk to us who are struggling to justify splitting the profits? I know that if I want to grow, I'm going to have to hire, I'm going to have to outsource, but how long should I experiment with contracting out before I give up and go back to doing it myself? I know I need to raise prices higher to justify to afford quality help, but I still hesitate to rise the prices directly to afford outsourcing. Oh, there's so many layers to this question that I think is really interesting, because I think it totally depends on your personality, right? If you're a ruler personality, you're like, it's just quicker to do it myself. If you're an accumulator personality, which I suspect you might have some accumulator there, it's always like, it's cheaper for me to do it myself. And there's literally no right or wrong answer around outsourcing. It's got to feel good to you, and it's so personal to you and to your personality type. I always look at what can you do that will pay for itself, right? What can you outsource that will pay for itself? So it could be something that, like editing, for example, like photographers who go, you know what, I can actually shoot more if I hire someone to help me edit, because I'm not really getting paid for the editing time. I'm getting paid to get more shoots, right? So you might go, that's going to pay for itself. What will create more ease for my customers so they can say yes? And so sometimes that could be systems, right? Like I hate making phone calls to book things. I'll only book things online. And I see people go, I don't want to do an online system because it takes like 5%. And I go, yeah, but you might get more customers. And so that will pay for itself, right? You might think like if I outsource my bookkeeping instead of doing it myself, I can have time to find more clients, right? Or the thing that I always start with is what's causing me the most stress, because I actually could do most of the things in my business myself. Like I really could. But there are the things that were causing me a lot of stress in my life were the home stuff. And so it's worth more for me to hire someone to do my laundry and to clean my house than it would be to hire someone to do all of my marketing for me or all of my social media, which I mostly do most of my social media. And so for me, that is a better use of my outsourcing dollars is at home than in some areas of my work, right? And but at the start of my business, customer service caused me the most stress, bookkeeping caused me the most stress, okay? So it could be something like that where you go, if I outsource this other thing, then I'll have more energy to do that. And you kind of nailed it as well when you said, you know, I need to increase my prices, but you're already stressing about then not having as much profit. So why don't you increase your prices and maybe you'll work less and you won't be as stressed and you just go, okay, I'll just have fewer clients, but more profit. There's nothing wrong with that either. Absolutely nothing wrong with that. So it is really personal. One of the hires that I made too was having a community manager to help me in Money Bootcamp because it was causing me so much stress feeling like I had to be available for everyone 24/7. And so even though that didn't directly make me money, it created more spaciousness for me. And then I was like, oh, I can have more people in Money Bootcamp because I felt like I was stopping the growth of Money Bootcamp because I was like, any more people, I'm going to have to take care of them all. So I was like going, don't join energetically. So I hired someone to help me be the community manager to help me hold more people in that space. Okay. So I would sit down and really look at what's causing me stress, what's stopping me from making money, what is an opportunity that I could, you know, outsource. And then you kind of map it all out and go, what would be the best next hire for me? It doesn't have to be full time. Could be someone just a couple of hours a week or something, you know, something small or project based. It doesn't have to be all or nothing. Okay. And if you're in sacred money archetypes, there's a whole lesson about hiring, about what to hire first, what personality types to hire to do what, sample job descriptions, all of those things. So if you're in sacred money archetypes, do that. If you're not, you can go join that at denisedt.com/SMA. It's a great course, but it's really helpful to see what your personality is, what the team is, what you need to do, what's the best place to outsource. Alrighty, so I've just got one little final thought for you after this last break. Thank you for joining me for this Ask Me Anything today. I'll see you in 1 second. Bye.
Hey there, this is Alicia Forrest, and I am the founder of the Lively Biz Business Club at livelybiz.com. I live on the seacoast of New Hampshire, USA with my husband and our two teenagers, and I joined Money Bootcamp several years ago, originally because I was stuck in my business, and then I knew it wasn't the business strategies that were holding me back. It was my mindset and my thoughts and my beliefs around money that was holding back my business growth. So the first massive shift I had was around my learned behavior of having to work really hard for the money. Now, as a daughter and a granddaughter and a great-granddaughter of longshoremen, it was ingrained in me that hard work equals more money. But through the lessons and the tools in Money Bootcamp, I was able to release my hold on that belief, and that's when everything in my business and my life started flowing again. Now, what I love most about Money Bootcamp is Denise's down-to-earth presence and practical teaching. Yes, even when it comes to tapping, which was a bit of a woo-woo shift for me. And I also love the community, which is incredibly supportive of every member. Now, there are very, very few courses I return to again and again, but Money Bootcamp is one of those rare gems. So if you suspect or you know it's your money blocks that are holding you back, this is seriously the only program I recommend and that you need to bust through them, especially for the ones you don't even know you have.
Okay, welcome back. So I loved all of our questions today, you know, about different things that, like, yeah, what I find is really interesting though, is my advice is always, it totally depends. You know, what do you want? You're literally allowed to create your life and business exactly how you want it. You can set your business up to really support you and your personality, what your desires are, and that can change over time as well. There is never anything set in stone for your business. You can literally change it every day if you want to. You can change your prices whenever you want. There's no right or wrong decisions. I always just say to people, like, do whatever you want, but there are consequences and there are customer service implications, but there are no right or wrong decisions. Do you want a big or small business? Do you want to sell high or low cost? Do you want a big or small team or something in between? It's totally, totally up to you. So always remind yourself, my business, my rules. My business, my rules. You'll be surprised that when you just decide something, people will believe you. They'll just go, oh, okay, that's how you do business now. Oh, okay, that's what it is. Your business, your rules. Okay, and of course, I have a book called Chill and Prosper, which is definitely, you know, a lot of my philosophy on business, on making things easier, making things that work for your personality. So check that out. It's called Chill and Prosper, and you can get it on Amazon, Kindle, paperback, hardback, all of the things. Okay, enjoy it. But I will see you next week on another episode of Chill and Prosper. Okay, bye. Take care. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Chill and Prosper. Tell your friends to chill and prosper. Review and subscribe. We hope you had a very good time.